What's going on, workforce? Brian here.
Chris here.
And today we're doing a special episode of Community Feedback, obviously wrapping up kind of the story that's been going on this week with Scott Zone, with White Knights, and all of that. Now, before we dive into your comments and what you guys had to say about the whole situation, I do want to go and jump out in the front of this video rather than wait like 12 minutes like Chris did to say that with the terms of service, Scott Zone broke terms of service, and that is why he got banned. That's not why the person who's threatening his life and kind of taking away that freedom and that security that essentially I think everybody deserves. You know, hopefully we'll find some kind of way, or they'll find a way to execute justice regarding the law. But as far as it goes, that's a supported decision by both of us because of the fact of the terms of service. And Chris gets into it. We'll check out his video, jump to maybe 12 minutes into it. I love how long it's a tough and delicate situation.
I take
Chris.
12 minutes because I want to set some context. Mm-hmm. I want to catch people up because there's people who say, I don't know who Scott Zone is, or I don't know a lot about Twitch, or I don't know a lot about, you know, other gaming communities or things like that. And so when you talk about something that has the potential to draw an audience, where if a mainstream media outlet picks this story up, you're going to have, you know, Brian's mom is kind of our barometer. When she calls us, it's made mainstream. Yeah. If it's big enough to hit whatever her sphere of influence is, and she says, hey, what's going on with this game? Oh God, this must be big, because I know you're not checking the same websites I am every morning. Yeah. So, you know, I want to set that barometer, but it does take me a long time to get to it.
Now, I also want to say that a lot of people are like, oh, Brian, you didn't talk anything about any details about Scott in my video, which is the White Knights killing Final Fantasy 14. And I didn't, because it wasn't a video about that. Scott's issue, and with everything that kind of that was the match that lit the pile of burning wood and debris that's been doused in kerosene that I've been working on and building up to a while to kind of find, trying to find the right way to phase it, because it's like, I don't think that the people, especially the kind of the toxic parts of the of different online communities, are the majority by any stretch of the imagination, but they do exist. And we can kind of have a tendency, especially as a 14 player and as somebody who's been a part of this community, I can see that it's like, sometimes it's like, we don't talk about that side. Like we'll accept all praise and laud for like how welcoming and wonderful we are. But then it's like, but yeah, like we do have a dark side, and that's okay. But we met with Mr. Happy and we talked about that in the podcast. You guys can check that out on Monday if you're interested. Chris, you ready to dive into everybody's comments?
I am. So we're going to start with Philip Chaput. If Asmongold, of all people, can follow Twitch's terms of service, so should everyone.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think that essentially terms of service are there to protect, you know, in this case, Twitch. I think terms of service are there, and that they're applied, if they were applied evenly, because I think there's a greater conversation. We're seeing a lot of cancel culture or people kind of teaming up against, I can't even, Alenity right now, like the cat thrower in this case. And so I think what you, sometimes it's like, if somebody can follow terms of service, I agree, like that's what they are. I would say that there's probably a perception that terms of service, it really, it applies like the world applies, like some people can get on a plane faster than I can apply. What do you think, Chris?
So in this particular community feedback, Brian had a chance to pull most of the comments while I was at a morning appointment. And so I just think it's funny that this one was pulled, because I don't know if Brian's aware of this, and I don't know if Philip's aware of this, but Asmongold accidentally gave away his own credit card information the other day and lost like $500 before it was done. Now, he's probably gotten that recovered. And
that's, isn't that him just doxing himself, though? Isn't that just him doxing himself?
Yes. But what I'm saying is that shows that he can make mistakes too. So where there's not intent, mistakes still break terms of service, and they still deserve punishment. Ignorance of the law is not a reason not to follow the law. And while terms of service are not necessarily legally binding in like a criminal sense, they are the rule of the land on whatever platform you're taking place on. So, you know, it's an interesting choice, because it's somebody who has also made mistakes. So the moment I saw this name, it's like, well, they're not immune to it either. Yeah. So nobody should be immune to punishment from it if what they do harms somebody else.
Right.
But
Well, that's why you have the law, and that's why there's also judgment in terms of punishment, because it's right. Like, because there's degrees. Intent, absolutely. And like, intent is one of the hardest things to prove. You know, like, oh, you intended to do this. You were like maliciously hoping that this would be the effect. The one thing that is important that, like, as social media has developed, and one of the things that we were even talking with the quartering about is that kind of the sphere of influence that he's like, some of these YouTubers have to constantly remind their communities, like, don't go out and attack people. But yet there's this some like mistranslation, or there's just this fervor, or there's this devotion, whatever you want to call it, to whatever cause that causes these like individuals to go out and kind of like jump on. Like, we, as humans, we love our bandwagons. Like, there's nothing, I guess, more satisfying than a bandwagon. Like, I'm a Cowboys fan when the bandwagon rolls through. But other than that, I don't typically watch football.
And a riot mentality is really dangerous because it tends to drop to the lowest common denominator. So it tends to drop to the lowest level of morality in the group, the lowest level of intelligence in the group, the lowest. It tends to, we don't rise up to the best of us when we get into a large group. If I have a moment of anger and a moment of weakness, everybody's going to fall to that. It's whoever's the bottom of the group. The punishment should match that crime. So, you know, Scott Zone, for example, should it stand exactly as it is? If the appeal does not cause them to go back and say, okay, with context, we feel differently about this, it's a 30-day suspension. It's not a permaban. It's not a removal of his channel. From the way I read his tweets, it looked like he hit partner while being on suspension, because that's just the way the timing worked out. So it's clearly not stopped his career. It's just, it's going to hurt for a bit, because the way Twitch works, at the end of 30 days, it's not like he's immediately going to have his audience back. He's not immediately going to have the same number of subscribers back. He's going to have to fight his way back up, and he made the mistake. So he's going to have to earn that back. As long as his audience doesn't feel that mistake was a reason to stop watching him or stop supporting him. You see in my video where I say, even though I agree with this mistake, just like if my brother committed a crime, I understand that legally he would be held for that crime, but I would bail him out of jail. I would pick him up from jail, and he could come stay at my house. He could eat my food. I support him as my brother. I would support a friend as a friend. That doesn't mean I'm condoning what he did and that I'm saying, oh, you should skip town. It's like, no, you got to go to your trial. I'll drive you there. Yeah. And if
Chris will do everything but pack your emergency escape bag.
If you're going to end up in jail, then I can visit you in jail. Like, but you know, I support you as a person. I just don't support that one activity. So, you know, if I can offer Scott $5 in place of a subscription this month to help with his, to help him maintain being a streamer, because I don't want him to give up on streaming, that is not the same as saying I think it's okay to dox people.
Right. And it's definitely not okay
to dox people. Definitely not.
Now, Ms. Girl follows up saying, I thought the Final Fantasy XIV community wasn't toxic. And this is an interesting question, because essentially, like, I want to make sure I'm very clear. I would say that there is a part of it. I think it's a small part of it, but they can be a very vicious part of it. And there's a lot of people who actually responded to Ms. Girl's comment, and there's a lot of conversation going on saying that, yeah, the 14 community isn't toxic as long as you fall in line, as long as you agree with everything, like the group thought, the nationalism that you were talking about in your video, as long as you're okay with that, as long as you don't make a critique, then, yeah, the 14 community is very welcoming. And I honestly think that is a problem, and I have seen that. It's like, as long as you stay in line and agree to these terms, then you're welcome. But as soon as like you're like, well, you know what, like this, it would be really cool if, and it's the it would be really cool if statement that ends up getting people on edge. Now, I don't fully understand it, because I'm always like, oh, somebody figured that out. That's really cool. Like, I wonder how 14, I wonder how the devs would take that and make it their own, because nobody wants to copy and paste. But if someone solved the solution, it's like, hey, did you hear? Like, Japan's like got this thing called electricity, and apparently it's pretty popular. You know, wouldn't it be cool if we had electricity here, Chris? Chris, what are your thoughts?
So, I mean, naturally, just in our natural state, Brian's history as a gamer, Brian's state just in his life as a dad and the level of gaming that he plays and all of that fits the mold of the Final Fantasy community better than me. And you can see it in our posts. You can see it. And so you can see it in our comments sections. Yeah. When I make posts, I get There's a lot of criticism.
There's a comment later that we get to that.
I get so much criticism. I haven't read ahead too much. I skimmed them, but I have. So I get hit pretty hard in some of my posts, especially if the word story or narrative comes into the subject.
Or World of Warcraft.
Or any, like, I naturally just always compare things. Analogies and metaphors are just my way of speaking. And the problem is when you're defensive, when you think your thing's the best, being compared to anything but that means it's worse. But I compare everything in my life to, oh, that's like, that's a mix between these two things or these three. Or, oh, that aspect of that is similar to this other experience that I've had.
So do and that with the 14 community 14, content. Yeah.
The 14 community does not deal well with that often. Like, I know before I post things, I'll
would
text.
Would you say as a whole or like
about
a part?
To post something that's going to get slammed.
Yeah. But as a whole or a part,
it's a vocal minority. Okay. It's a vocal minority. It's just that one. The reason that the community gets held to that standard is because when something bad happens, you see it in anything. When a bad actor happens and that person is self-labeled as part of a group, whether that's a supporter of a celebrity or a follower of a particular trade organization or religion or anything. It doesn't
see it with gamer, that entire label gamer as like, absolutely. Oh, somebody goes and shoots up a school. Oh, they happen to play games. All gamers are violent and crazy.
All of us.
Right. And I don't appreciate that because it's like, no, it's science shows that it's reducing violence. Anyway, go ahead.
So the community as a whole is not toxic. I would argue that most communities as a whole are not toxic. The question is, when that community becomes toxic, is it worse, right? Is the most toxic Boy Scout or Girl Scout just aggressively selling popcorn and cookies at my door? Well, that's not so bad. The most aggressive 14 in the person in this case threatened somebody's life with their home address. Mm-hmm. So like you have to be held to that standard. And unfortunately it lumps us all in. When we do something like lump all WoW players into a stereotype, think about the millions and millions and millions of people that have played WoW over 15 years. It's absurd. So you're saying, oh, well, who knows? It could be 20 or 30 million people have tried WoW at some point. You think 30 million people fall into one category? And it'll be the same with 14 as it ages. This game is incredibly enjoyable. And so it's going to have a large impact. So those people aren't going to fit one mold because we're just too big of a group. Haven, calling the entire Fantasy 14 community nationalistic xenophobes is a bit of a stretch in my personal opinion. And this is from my post. So yeah. Brian, what do you think?
So I don't think you called the entire community nationalist xenophobes. I think that it's essentially a kind of a trait. There's nothing wrong with being proud of your game. There's nothing wrong with being in love with 14. There's nothing wrong with sharing that 14 is the best MMO on the market right now, which that's, I would say, is not an opinion. It's a fact. Look it up. that is an opinion, but it feels like a fact. But as far as it goes, like, this is where I take concern with it, right? Because if someone's saying like, hey, 14 is great, and then we're doing these analogies and we're doing these comparisons, I look at gaming as very inclusive as a whole. At least it should be. Is it 100% there yet? No. We're still working out the kinks, right? We're working off, you know, generations or decades or centuries or millennia of various different stereotypes and various different, you know, social engineering that has occurred for various reasons. Anyway, beyond all that, I don't see it as an affront when somebody comes into the community and is like, oh man, this is great. Oh, it'd be cool for this. You know, it's like they have interesting experiences. And that's the xenophobia, right? Like I really have always enjoyed different perspectives. That's just how I've been raised. My whole life has been around multiple, it's very multicultural, very all of it. I see beauty in it, but there's friction. But that friction, I always say, is a very limited time, because if you embrace it, you end up, I think, becoming stronger for it. So I didn't believe that you said all of the 14 community is nationalistic and xenophobe. I believe we're talking about a small percentage of the community. And I think that they should, at least my hope is that I wish that we would take it as a compliment to where 14 is. If you're worried about people coming into the game and trying to ruin the game was ruined and it has been restored. And I think that's more of the dev team. I think people are putting too much emotion or I think weight in on like a WoW player who comes in and has a different perspective rather than looking at the value of the person and what they can bring to the conversation. It doesn't mean that we all have to like agree, and it doesn't mean we all will agree, but we shouldn't be afraid of people. And there, and in some comments, we also kind of see a theme that people are fearful that WoW players are coming into the game and they are going to ruin the game because they believe that WoW was ruined. And they believe it is was ruined, I guess, by WoW players. When WoW, what the reason why WoW players are leaving is because it's more the development, it's more the leadership. Like no WoW player beyond maybe somebody make a mod, like you know, kind of for their add-ons, has any real control over the direction of the game. And I think that's why people are leaving WoW, is because they feel like they aren't being heard and that the devs are quantifying fun in weird and you know ways, etc. Where in 14th community, I feel heard, but that doesn't—it's not going to guarantee that this is going to be all to happen. It's kind of like people are putting causation and correlation, and they're making broad statements over something that is not a fact, but it is the only data that points they have to kind of make that off of. Go ahead, Chris.
So, I mean, xenophobia is a natural human trait. So while I didn't intend to label everybody as a xenophobe, it is a natural human trait. It comes with bias. It's an instinctual trait that protects us from things. If there's a change in the environment, if there's a change in the bushes, or if there's a group of people that live or act differently than us, or if somebody looks different, especially in like a sickly way, it is natural for us to almost be repulsed by that as a protective trait. It's what kept us before we had all of this documentation and knowledge and things like that, from eating the wrong bush, from migrating into lands where we wouldn't have known how to survive, from interacting with people who would have done us harm. It protected a lot of people, so it's baked in. Now, unfortunately, there's no way to unbake, like you can't take that out. And we teach it to our children, so it's passed down. So we exacerbate that. So you know, no baby is born, you know, being racist or anything like that. But that's a taught trait. But we're naturally wired to receive that, and so it's something we have to actively work against, just like bias and anything else. It's a hard thing to fight. When you talk about society as a whole, you as an individual may feel like you're doing it perfectly. I know that I try very hard within the context and perspectives that I have to be what I feel is a good person. But when you look at us as a whole, you can see where maybe, you know, each of us missing it by 1 or 2% adds up. Now, nationalism, I just define that as just something that naturally happens. Somebody else in the comments used the word tribalism, which is another good example of this, where you simply have a group of people that are just proud of being part of the group that they are. I wasn't trying to say everybody, that's the other part I said about nationalism, is that has become a negative word because it is associated with extremism. In the United States, it's become associated with white supremacy and all of these groups that aren't really liked by everybody. And so
for good reason.
I wasn't. Oh, they've earned it. I wasn't. Didn't come. Well, I don't get it. It's for good reason. So without getting off into that tangent, the goal wasn't to put any one label over the whole group. The goal was to say that there are tendencies when you get any group of people together, and these tendencies have problems. They have costs. Now, these tendencies don't just come at a cost. Just like corporations don't form because they like being inefficient, there was something you gained by being nationalistic. You gain this patriotism. You get to be part of this whole that's incredible. So there's a strength to it that makes it appealing to fervent and passionate communities, which Final Fantasy has one. So it's a tendency that we have to keep an eye out for if we don't want to incur the costs, if we don't want to have the negatives come along with nationalism.
The extremist side of it, before we get to that, our next comment, is actually something that I think Final Fantasy as a franchise and a story is a constant warning against. It's a warning against those extreme sides, to the light and to the darkness. In fact, it's a very gray story. It's always kind of about working into that balance, that restoring kind of that balanced perspective. And I that's the theme that I get out of a lot of the games. It's not that... You know, like, oh, it's not that any one group is specifically wrong. It's that they end up taking extremist measures to accomplish their goal, where maybe the goal is essentially maybe a good thing, but it's something that the actions to achieve that goal aren't necessarily like the best in that regards.
So Zero Blade said, I'm an advocate that if somebody's 100% dick, threat, racist, whatever, put a spotlight on them. Once the light's on them, they scatter. Education's a big thing. People don't like confrontation when it actually comes to their front door. Mm-hmm. The internet offers a lot of anonymity. And so it's really easy to hide behind that. And so, you know, a chance to educate them positively is good. You don't want them to just hide just to hide.
Right. And, like, I've always asked, do you want secret Nazis or do you want Nazis? Because essentially, if you know, I would rather have I know that person's a Nazi, as opposed to like, oh, like there's this whole group of people that are doing the same thing, but we're not aware of it. Light, I think, is the best disinfectant. Absolutely. Yeah. However, I think we should hold ourselves to a higher standard to be that invitation, right? It's if we all want to be in the mud, you know, flinging it back and forth at each other, we're not offering a better way of life. We're not offering a better argument. We're not offering a more attractive and appealing, community or any of that. All we're doing is like, well, we're just like that other toxic group. And all it is just two toxic groups fighting each other. If we can elevate ourselves while shedding light, while at the same time then offering people like, why are they so happy? Like, why are they so joyful? Like, people come in and like they try to tear them down, but the community gathers together and then welcomes the attacker into the fold. Like, hey, like, we've been there, man. It's better over here and it's cool. Like, we understand. Come join us. Let's have that conversation. I think that light, that elevation, that invitation is essentially the better disinfectant. Because essentially all then, if we then just, you know, like shoo them away with light and they go and hide, right? Then they're just over there we're not stronger for it and they're not, you know, they're not better for it. And then they can, and then they're just in the darkness doing whatever. And then I think it ends up just being something that doesn't work out in anybody's favor in the long run. I'm also overly optimistic, everybody. Like, I do also recognize that, as my wife told me the other day, you're too optimistic, Brian. At some point, there are some people that you just can't save. I'm like, I get that. But I'm not going to stop that from me trying to be somebody who can love people enough to invite them, you know, into hopefully a better life. But it's a battle.
So the next three comments are all about World of Warcraft. They're three different perspectives. I'm going to read them back to back, and then we're going to just be responding to WoW as a whole, because that's of course, anytime you talk about 14, WoW comes up, and it's a point of contention always.
So Stephen McCoy writes, "The problem that we've seen and what happened to WoW is to please the small but loudest group of players is now as a whole the most agree that WoW isn't good or fun due to the changes made for these groups. This is a huge fear for players in 14 because we've already started in that direction. I honestly would argue streaming has done a lot worse than good for games and the culture in gaming as a whole." He must be dyslexic because I am reading this like it is just, I'm just picking up every word of this. "I feel bad for Scott and I like his content, but I do feel like there's a level of arrogance built into streamers, especially when they start to grow larger, that makes them think that they can do things like this, but then skate around the research in some ways, and it's okay. I do wish them the best though." And go ahead and take with Lexi.
So Lexi says, "I honestly have zero clue what you're trying to get at with comparing the general view to political terms. Have you ever heard the term, the grass is greener on the other side and the pot calling the kettle black? Both of these say exactly what's happening with your explanation. On WoW, players disrespect Final Fantasy 14. Players religiously talk down about the game and every other game as a whole and personally attack people's choices with labels like weeb. Do you honestly think it's one-sided?" And then Anvitir says, "Let's settle one thing right now. WoW refugees are not a problem. They react just as cute, pure, and gratefully, if not more so because of the bad taste from their old community than any other sproutling." So these three comments, did you want to sit the Ashura here?
I liked Ashura's comment because that was tying to what we were talking about earlier.
All right. So there's a response to that one that says, "I've experienced otherwise in both Final Fantasy XI and Final Fantasy XIV. I think Scott was the only normal WoW player I ever met. Even Chris here can be a little iffy at times." Perfect. So awesome. Yeah. There's a lot to unpack here because this is three different perspectives on the WoW community. This particular instance, we are talking about Scott. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about Scott because something happened in the 14 community. If you are accused of murder, You don't get to go, well, this other guy murdered somebody last year. He was never caught. So why are we talking about me? I don't care about them right now. We have to focus on one thing at a time. This problem happened in the 14 community. So that's where we're going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. You can't sit here and just, and we don't get to redefine the rules as we go. You don't get to say, I don't like speed limits, so I'm going to drive however fast I want. If you want to go fight down at the state, whatever, to get your speed limits changed, go nuts. But until they're changed, you don't get to just drive around and do whatever you want. So Scott was punished for breaking the terms of service, and he chose his actions as a result of somebody in the Final Fantasy XIV community doing something appalling. So both are wrong. Both will suffer, ideally, punishments for their laws or terms of service that they broke. Scott, we already know what his is. The other guy's is a felony if he's caught. I say he because they chose a male name to go by. We don't know if that name is real. We don't know if the time zone they shot it from is real. We don't know anything. We know that the email address didn't show up in anything, but even doxing that email address for being fake is dangerous because anybody with that name is now at danger. So like it's a whole problem. This has nothing to do with the WoW community right now. And so that's really my issue with right. this. And I know Lexi and I had a conversation in the comments and stuff. I'm not saying this is one-sided, but I am saying this is the side we need to talk about right now because this is the side causing the problem.
Now, my experience with WoW, because somebody told me to go back and play WoW, and one of the things, I was like, it's not my game. I've tried. It doesn't support controller, so I just kind of move along. It kind of goes into that if you're sitting here saying like it's okay to be a jerk because this other community is just as jerky or whatever, I don't think that anybody wins in that case. I think that, you know, it's kind of like if you kind of think of it where sometimes competition usually can breed excellence because you're like, okay, so how can 14 be better? Like how can, you know, like let's, I can only control how I act and my actions. I have 3 kids, 4 on the way. I cannot control my children, nor do I want to. I want to teach them how to control themselves. So in this situation, within this community, like, let's be the best. Let's be the shining light. Let's be this community that everybody in WoW is like, man, I want to be a part of that. And I can't speak to whether, like, WoW is toxic. But I think that it's the same kind of thing with the algorithm. People come in and say, like, all we do is post negative videos. And I look at like 5 or 6 and I go, I think all you do is watch negative videos and the algorithm is going to feed you anything that remotely kind of touches in on that. And then you watch it. So then the algorithm says I was correct. So challenge yourself to look at like your community. Like if all of a sudden you're like, man, everybody's doing drugs and you're like, well, you know, like you're doing drugs yourself. You're like, maybe that's like where you've kind of fallen in, because they're like within any like bigger community, there's obviously smaller sections of that community itself. And there is that sense that, you know, I still think that like if we as a community can be a better community, can be more inviting and can be, and to be a real contrast to where everybody's like, man, like if WoW is truly toxic, if these other online games are just truly toxic and they can come and find solace and peace and a group of friends and people that they want to spend time with here, then like we win. Like if we're going to compete on it, like let's compete by being the better, the you know, raising the stakes, being better, being more inclusive, being more open, being more honest, being more awesome. Because honestly, I think it's within us. Like I've been a part of this, you know, community for a long time. I've been a part of this since 11. I've been a Final Fantasy fan. I didn't like the first one, but since when I got my Final Fantasy II on the SNES, which was really 4, really confusing with the numbering square. Thanks. What are your thoughts, Chris?
It's definitely an uphill battle. And so, I mean, as the first comment points out, it only takes a handful of people to bring us all down. When somebody's hateful, it's easy to be hateful back. And so it takes an honest and concerted effort. And if that person is hateful and 10 people in a row are nice to them, maybe they at least lighten their tone a little. And so it takes that honest effort. And it's unfortunate that it takes 10 of us being the bigger person to get that one person to go, man, I am being a dick today. And we've all had bad days, you know, we've all had bad moments. We've all been tired or we've had stress or whatever. And it takes that concerted effort. If you want to see something improve, if you say, I wish this community was more of X, well, what are you actively doing to change that? What are you actively taking part in? Because it's not going to just change on its own. So are you just waiting for somebody that's thinking what you're thinking to do the action for you? Or is there something that you can do, even just a small thing, to make that little extra step? Is there somebody you can welcome in just a little bit more? When you see a sprout, can you tell them, hey, do you have any questions about the game? Like, is there just that one extra little thing that you can do to just pay it forward to just the general community as a whole that you're a part of, Final Fantasy 14 or otherwise? Yeah. It's something that WoW could benefit from. It's something that 14 could benefit from. It's something that all gaming could benefit from. Things outside of gaming could benefit from that attitude. But it's the reason we don't do it is that it's hard.
Yeah.
We've all been told as a kid, just be nice. But like, that's way hard. It's a whole lot easier to shout at somebody who cuts me off in traffic.
Yeah.
It takes no effort.
Now, on the on Steven's comment talking about like that 14 players are fearful of WoW players coming in, it kind of ties back to xenophobia, but talking about like, oh, WoW players are going to come in, they ruin their game, they're going to ruin our game. I think that puts a lot of power where it exists. Like, Chris and I don't, like, despite the fact that like we've met Yoshi P, we've interviewed Yoshi P, we don't have this power to go and tell Yoshi P what to do. That's kind of the beauty of the fact that, like, I think the best development teams are the ones that are empowered to build the passion that they have the skills for. Like, they are very talented. Can Yoshi P and Square Enix, can actually really Yoshi P keep the leadership from mucking it all up with business kind of concepts, right? Like, no, guys, you don't get it. Let's make the best game possible because that's going to achieve your goal. Don't come in here and mess with my devs, right? I've experienced that hands-on in different development teams where, like, we're building something awesome, the customer's excited, and then we have to fight off the board and the CEOs who are like, but you got to do this, and like, trust us, like, this is how it's going to work, and it's going to work out better than what you think, because we're here in the trenches with it. So go ahead.
Yeah, and that statement implies two things, right? It implies A, that the community had no toxicity before a single WoW player came over. That it was just perfect and we were just running around with roses. And that B, those players are so convincing and so capable of stirring us up that our perfect little world that we had prior to WoW players coming over in mass could be damaged so quickly by them. This handful of players could come in and the moment they're negative, we can't help it. We have to be negative now. And that's right. Not the case. They do not have that level of control over us.
The other side of it, though, is also that more people playing the game, where Final Fantasy 14 is the largest MMO, overtaking WoW, where before 14 or even 11, like, there's been, we've always, like, the Final Fantasy Online has been more of this niche group, and we've been proud of that. We were like, oh, this is great. We really enjoy this kind of game. We really enjoy what they deliver, because we're not just MMO fans, we're also Final Fantasy fans. And all of a sudden, we've been elevated, just like 7 elevated Final Fantasy the world over. Before, like, 7 was this great entry point for a ton of players who credit that for them coming in at that point. 14 can do the same, and it could be the biggest MMO, meaning it's got the best player base, it's got the biggest player base, the Square Enix has got the most funding for it, and then they're able to do more things, and we all end up getting more content rather than less content. We all end up like being able to enjoy more fights and have more jobs and have like more than we would normally have had, because the game was just doing great, like, but you know, and it was making a profit. But now all of a sudden, if it starts making crazy money, like, Square Enix and us as fans of the franchise end up winning out more. And so I get it. I get that, you know, people can come in and I think it's essentially like, for me, I've been kind of on this kick against matchmaking. Matchmaking in and of itself is kind of the root of the problem, because if you go and find like people that you enjoy playing with, I'm lucky enough that we've got the workforce, that I've got Chris, that I've got my wife, that I've got people that we get to play with regularly. And so as a community, I'm hanging out with people who are interesting, and the best thing about it is that we don't agree, and we have these really awesome conversations in Discord, whether we're live or we're not. And I love that. I love getting their perspective, but it's people that it's like, yeah, we're in this content. Do we want to try this thing this crazy way? Why not? Because everybody agrees to it. Matchmaking is usually where that kind of the friction comes in, because you end up getting paired with somebody who might have a different objective or different expectations than you. And thus you end up getting that friction. And if you respond with the response that you're getting, then essentially that, I think that is the cataclysm. That is the catalyst that essentially is that why people kind of feel that. If you're getting that within your own social group, of people that you're playing with regularly, maybe you need to find a different social group. But I think I would guess from an educated perspective that a majority of the toxicity comes in when you're matched with somebody. And I'm not advocating the matchmaking go away, because it's a handy tool as I use it, but I have to set my expectation that you don't know what you're getting, because mm-hmm. you don't know who you're going to get matched with. And somebody could have had a bad day at work. They could have had a hard, you know, and this is their, they have 10 minutes before they have to go get yelled at by their boss again. And they're just trying to get this thing done. You know, I don't know. I don't know where they're coming from. I try to know where they're coming from, and sometimes I'm successful. Chris.
Yeah. So, I mean, kind of to sum these up. So Steven's fear is that small group of people that were capable of ruining the WoW community, which I think problems are more systemic than that, is going to ruin 14. And we have just as much control in that stake as they do. And negative is louder than positive, but it doesn't mean positive isn't there. I think that Reddit is probably a lot more positive than the comments. I think there's just a lot of quiet lurkers, and nobody goes out to Reddit to say, hey, my game is working as intended. They go out to Reddit because their game is offline. They go out to Reddit because something's wrong. And so you end up with these whole threads on Reddit that are just nothing but negativity. And I don't think that every member of those subreddits are negative. It just can be that way sometimes. And then Lexi goes on to say that, you know, why are we talking about the 14 community so much in this when the WoW community or any other community is also just as guilty of these things? And the answer is because we're talking about an instance when that we're talking about the 14 community right now, and we can compare it to other things and we can see how other communities have dealt with it better or worse as a point of learning. But ultimately we're talking about the 14, and then add a tier, like, you've got the right attitude that they're just players just like us. And honestly, you know, to look up to the first two, I would say before you go off and call the WoW community one thing, keep in mind that the WoW community has gone under immense number of dev changes. They've gone under ownership changes. They've gone under community changes. They've gone under their actual content itself has varied wildly, even when some of those things were consistent. So the player base has shifted. The community has shifted. The experience has shifted. So it is not any one thing. So to say all WoW players ever are a problem is... I mean, that. Do you have any idea how many unique users have probably at least tried WoW? It's a big bucket. So,
I mean, that's. I think that's a really good summary. We thank you, each and every one of you, for your comments. Chris, do you have any final thoughts before we kind of wrap this up?
No. We had a chance to interact with some of you directly in the comments. Even these comments themselves, we just pull them anyway because they seem to sum up a very large number. These two topics have gotten an immense response from you guys. Hopefully some portion of that is going to go tell Scott, like, hey, I know you did wrong. I'm not saying that Twitch shouldn't have suspended you, but I hope you come back and I hope you continue to enjoy Final Fantasy 14. I hope this doesn't put a bad taste in his mouth for the community. And I hope he feels that he can continue to be himself and be just an incredible, incredible person to have joined our community. He's an asset to any community that he chooses to stream for. And so I hope that he can do that. And I hope that whoever decided to do that death threat, I hope that this can kind of wake them up a little and show them that, you know, whether or not you get jail time from this, it could have been that, at least here in the US. I don't know where you're from. And that's a problem. So you need to sit back and you need to say, when you're calling the WoW community toxic, but you're the one issuing death threats, it might be time to just take a breath and look in the mirror. Probably past time.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, for everybody, thank you so much for watching this video. We look forward to engaging with you again in the comments below about this and anything that we said. We also thank everybody who's reached out to us privately. We're not disclosing any information about that, but we have received those messages. And thank you guys for the feedback. We love each and every one of you guys. And we hope you all have a great day. And hopefully these conversations are helpful, positive, and uplifting. And that's the goal of this. But for Work to Game, my name is Brian.
My name's Chris.
Thank you so much for watching. We hope you have a fantastic day.
We'll see you next time.
Whoa, you guys are the best. Jorge, Kyle, Philip, 31 Edwards, Rock Druid, Corey Longwith, Aaron, Axis, Hambone, Lady Wild to Plays, CNAVs, this is going too fast, Christopher, Phil, Shun, Dragons, Soul, Keen, Knights, Assassin, Carlos, Sherry, Robber, Leyland, Davon, Tim, Jojo World, Terrace, Sora, Scrublord, Trevor, Mill, Little Almond, 70s, Kimber, Tyler, oh my god, I'm so sorry, Cody, Legend, Armin, Carlos, Endless, Jonathan, Jade, Sai, Derek, Brandon, Aaron, Riku, Daryl, Chemistro, Lauren, The Wolf, The Gar, Kelly, Anthony, Solid, John, Huskry, oh my god, Everybody, Dark Later, Christopher, Vestman, Sean, Nopey, Brian, Tom, Dylan, Silent, whew, I missed your names. I'm sorry. I love you all. Oh my gosh, that was tough.